Hello, everyone. This is Michael Murray with the American Association of People with Disabilities. This is our second DMD coordinator conference call, and we've got a really exciting topic to talk about today. But before we jump in, I'm going to introduce once again Julio Suarez from Garden Restaurants. He's jumped on the call again today to answer a few questions, if anyone had any, and also to talk about Garden's commitment to Disability Mentoring Day. You guys should have received a letter from me earlier this morning talking about Darden's commitment and the and a letter that you can take to Darden restaurants and to their store managers, letting them know how Darden can participate this year so that you can solicit their support. So I'm willing to go through that as well, but let's give Julio a big round of applause and let him jump in and talk a little bit about Darden and their commitment to DMD.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for the introduction. As Michael indicated, we sent out a letter earlier today to basically confirm what you probably all have been expecting since this will be our ninth year participating in the Disability Mentoring Day program. And the brands for Darden restaurants that will be participating again this year are Bahama Breeze, Olive Garden, Red Lobster, and the Capital Grill. We have provided three options for restaurants to participate, which are consistent with the same approach that we've taken in the years past. That is to provide a job shadowing experience for an individual with disabilities, to have an educational luncheon for maybe a small group of individuals so that they can learn about what goes on at the restaurant. It may not include necessarily a tour, but, you know, maybe like a general manager can come in and talk about what his or her role is and maybe bring a couple of folks to describe what their role at the restaurant is. And then, you know, if those first two options are not available for whatever reason, maybe staffing or some other conflict going on during the time frame, we also allow our restaurants to make an in-kind food donation, like a meal donation, to you in support of your program. So that's how we're encouraging our restaurants to participate. In terms of the dates, I know that the program can run from basically sometime early October to even December. But we're really trying to concentrate our participation during the last 2 weeks of October, and that is primarily because in November and December, it is just really busy in the restaurant industry, as I'm sure it is in other businesses like retail and all that. And we have several other initiatives that are going to be rolling out in November as well. So in order to make sure that this is a good experience, not only for you, but also for our restaurants, we are encouraging the participation of the last 2 weeks of October, specifically in the dates of October 17th to the 20th and October 24th to the 27th. And, we very much value the relationship we have with the American Association of People with Disabilities. Michael Murray, I think you've done a great job of getting everybody geared up for this year. We also very much value the relationships that our restaurants are able to establish with you. We just hope that you're able to take advantage of this opportunity. Hopefully, again, not only will our restaurants have a great experience, but you and the students will have a good experience. And so hopefully you find it to be a rewarding one, and I would encourage you to, maybe take some photography to share with Michael. Things that perhaps the AAPD can use to promote the program farther down the road.
Absolutely. And just to echo what Julio said, I'd first like to say that it is always a pleasure to work with Julio. He really does advocate for this program and advocate for people with disabilities and just does some incredible work. So we greatly appreciate your dedication to this and to AAPD and to people with disabilities and all of our partners who are doing Disability Mentoring Day. And just to add a few little notes, you'll notice that the dates that Julio mentioned for Darden to participate at Bahama Breeze, Olive Garden, Red Lobster, and Capital Grill are Monday through Thursday. So it's Monday the 17th through Thursday the 20th, and Monday the 24th through Thursday the 27th. And I'd really encourage you guys to try to stick to those dates, if at all possible, and also to try to stay away from that Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because as we all know, we all love to go out to eat at those times, so that's their busiest times. I'd also encourage you guys, if possible, to try to work with your store manager to see about working with them in the morning, because a lot of times the morning time is less busy than it would be, let's say, at dinner time. And obviously with school students, that's usually not a problem, but always good to make those things clear. So again, we encourage you guys to contact your garden restaurants inside of the letter that I sent out to you guys. It outlines all of the things that Julio and I just talked about. It also has a link on there that will give you a store locator so that you can find a Darden restaurant that's close to you guys. We greatly appreciate your participation, and I'll open it up for a few questions. I don't want to take a whole lot of time so that we can get to our topic today, but if anyone has any questions for Julio, I would welcome you guys to ask them now.
Julio, this is Brian from Overland Park, Kansas, and I just had a question regarding your restaurants. One idea that I was thinking is, even though it's not quite within the three areas you mentioned about participating, I'm doing an employer panel. I'm putting on a workshop and job career fair. Part of it, I'm having an employer panel with four employers. I thought about getting someone from, you know, like either Red Lobster or Olive Garden or one of the other, having a manager maybe be on our panel for a morning session would be like 3 hours total time. And it's in that time frame that you mentioned on the date. Do you think that would be a possibility? I know, of course, it would be up to the manager, of course.
Yeah, I would not have any objection to that. These individuals are not necessarily in, say, my role, in which I, you know, like I really manage the relationship with the ABLE Trust in Florida and with the AAPD, and I'm probably more in tune with some of the challenges and opportunities that exist for the disability community and how businesses can be a part of it. With that said, it depends, I guess, what level of depth that you'll be entering. And you know, I don't know exactly, you know, not knowing the manager there. It sounds like
right.
A pretty neat opportunity. I personally enjoy participating in panels. I get a lot out of it personally, but that will have to be sort of an individual decision. I'm not discouraged to pursue it. In fact, I think that's fine to pursue it. But the decision will have to be made by that manager as to whether he or she's comfortable in that setting. So I hope you understand that.
Oh, yeah, I understand. I just kind of wanted to get your perspective from that, from another way that they could participate in being on a panel. So thanks for your feedback.
No problem. And by the way, I don't know if you were the same gentleman from Monday.
Yes,
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah. I said on the Monday call that I used to live in Overland Park, Kansas. So.
So, when you said that, I was real happy to hear that, yeah. So, thanks.
Well, good luck with the program.
Thank you.
Great question. Do we have any other questions before we move on to our topic today? All right, none being heard.
Can I ask one? Presumably, several of you, I'm not sure about all, most of you, but several of you have participated in the DMD program before, and presumably several of you have worked with Darden, one of our concepts before, and though we always receive photos that say how well, you know, basically it shows like a great experience, and for the most part, we believe everything's been going well. We ask our restaurants to provide feedback, but this is also an opportunity for you to provide feedback to me as to how the program has run in the past. So if you have any comments, I certainly would appreciate hearing them. because again, it's this is not a one-way street. We're trying to make sure that this is rewarding for both parties here. So.
Absolutely. So if there's some of you guys on the call, maybe we can take if anybody has a comment, or if we've got one or two folks who just want to talk about how they've incorporated Darden into their disability mentoring day, it will be a great time to do it. I'm going to call on somebody if I don't hear somebody.
Somebody just started speaking.
This is Brian again. I just thought I'd mention I've contacted Darden restaurants in the past, my previous DMV events, and they've been very generous in giving me, like, gift cards and, you know, for door prizes. And actually one of our events, I think it was one of the Olive Gardens, provided lunch for us at one of our events. This was like 5 years ago. So I just thought I'd mention in the past you guys have been supportive in the contacts I've made here in Kansas City. And I'll try to remember this year to provide feedback to you regarding this year. But I apologize for not doing it in the past.
Honestly, it's all fine. Our general impression is that it has always been a good one. I actually conducted a survey of our restaurants that participated. And you know how surveys are. Not everybody responds, right? But from the ones that I received, it was overwhelmingly a great experience. So I have to go by that.
I put it in my reports to AAPD over the years that the restaurant who's participated, so they're in those reports.
Yeah, and we'll continue to share those with Julio, and I think one of the other things that is really would be really important is those picture pieces. So if taking those pictures is words say something, but pictures say 1,000 words. So I think that's another good way. Do we have one more person maybe who wants to make a comment or talk about how they incorporate Darden into their disability mentoring day?
Yeah, Michael, this is Joe from the Chicago Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities. We've had a lot of great success tapping into Darden as a resource with our past activities. For instance, last year with the Olive Garden locally, we were able to have sort of what we call like a customized job shadow experience where we recruited some local culinary students with disabilities to go to the restaurant and, you know, be hosted for like a meal. And they got a tour of the restaurant to see what happens behind the scenes, you know, by the manager, which is really a very positive experience for everyone involved. And also, we've been very fortunate that the local Capital Grill has been able to provide some lunches for our Disability Mentoring Day in the past. So we were very pleased to have the support of Darden over the last few years with our activities.
Well, thank you so much for the feedback. We actually, I remember getting some photos of that event of the individuals at the Capitol Grill that you mentioned. It looked like it was a great time. It was two or three of them, I believe. So hopefully they had a great time.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate that. So in order to keep us on schedule, we'll close it down, if you guys have any questions for Julio or any questions about your relationship with Darden or anything along those lines, you can feel free to send me an email. And Julio and I are in contact with each other quite often, and I welcome those comments and also your stories and in your final report that we send out every year. In the section where we ask for those questions, or when we ask for those stories of successes and we ask for those pictures, we'd love to hear even more about the great work that you guys are able to do with Darden Restaurant. So, Julio, thank you again. And Julio, if you want to jump off the call, you're more than welcome to stay, but don't feel like you have to. We've got a really exciting topic to cover. I'm really excited about it. It's called DMD Year Round, and it's innovative ideas for building on the success of Disability Mentoring Day programs to create year-long outcomes. I know that many of you guys are already using DMD as a jumping off point for programs that carry out through the rest of the year. And we think that that's admirable. We really appreciate that. And I know that people with disabilities appreciate that. Because Disability Mentoring Day in and of itself, even if you only do it for one day, has some incredible outcomes and really impacts our community and the disability community in a positive way. And you can work on those impacts and work on those outcomes and build even more out of it so that it becomes even stronger and even more successful and capable of impacting people all year round. One model that I was incredibly impressed with when I came on to as the Disability Mentoring Day Coordinator here at AAPD was the model that's carried out in Chicago by the Chicago Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities. Their model, I'm not going to steal their thunder, but it really is incredible. So we're going to take some time today to hear from their model, to learn from them, and then, as always, we'll open it up to all the other coordinators so that you guys can talk about how the successes that you have during Disability Mentoring Day carry out through the rest of the year. I will say that that we chose Chicago this year for the Disability Mentoring Day national launch because we really wanted to highlight that model of working with DMD and making it a year-round kind of thing. And so that was one of the reasons that we picked Chicago, that and because they're just really great to work with. I've had a lot of fun working with them, and I can't wait to see them all on October 14th for the DMD national launch in Chicago. With that being said, I'd like for us all to welcome to the call Commissioner Karen Tamley and Joe Albrighton from the Chicago Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities. Oh, there was no applause. Come on, let me hear some applause. Yay! So, guys, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it'll be, to kind of give an overlay of what you guys do, why don't you guys give a quick program overview of the kinds of things that you guys do, how your DMD started, and what it's led to today, and what you do throughout the year.
Okay, so Joe Albritton is going to do the background because he was instrumental in getting DMD started here in Chicago, and then I'll take on from what we're doing present day. So, Joe?
Thanks, Commissioner. It's funny. About 10 years ago, we got involved with Disability Mentoring Day through AAPD. It came to our attention this event was taking place. And we had about, from the time we heard about it, we had about probably about a month to put a program together. So we kind of hurriedly did that, and we had that very first DMD. We had about 25 students and about 10 employers that participated. So that was a start. And kind of fast forward to now, 10 years later, we're expecting about 300 students with disabilities to participate this year, and several, probably 100 volunteers, employers, teachers, and parents, and so on, that will be at the event as well. So we've really grown over the years, and we've changed it from just a one-day event. Over the last 3 years, we've made it into that year-long program that Michael was referring to. So we've grown over the years. We've got the involvement from the Chicago Public Schools to help us with the program, private sector employers, community-based organizations, and just a lot of people that came to the table to help support our program. And with that very brief history lesson, I'll turn it back over to Commissioner Tamley.
Sure. In the past, and actually it was before I came to the mayor's office, but I was working previously at the Center for Independent Living, so I was familiar with what was being done in the past. Of just say one day, the students gather, they get breakfast, a couple of speeches, and then they go off to their designated employers for a couple of hours of shadowing, and then come back and regroup and report back and have a closing. So it was a very, in some ways, logistically complicated with the students going out and coming back. So we changed it up a number of years ago when I came here to the city. To really look at how do we make it the most effective and how do we have Disability Mentoring Day actually lead to something, and that's something we really wanted it to lead to, was actual paid internships at the end. So what we're doing now is a three-pronged process, and it's really kicked off every year by Disability Mentoring Day in the fall, where we've actually moved it, the focus less on shadowing and more on preparing students for those job skills, whether it's soft skills or thinking about careers, resume writing, interviewing, that kind of thing. So we do from approximately, 8 a.m. to 1:30 or 2 o'clock, where they come to one central location. We have worked with the public schools and the transit authority to give them actual transit passes to be able to get there. We utilize our sponsors to provide lunch and meals, and then we utilize many of our other sponsors to help us do lead workshops. So we have a number of companies that are leading workshops on resume writing, interviewing skills, soft skills, thinking about careers in healthcare, technology, the trades. And we truly try to make it focused to the students. And so we keep the sessions to 30 minutes, no more than 30 minutes, and they get to pick and then they rotate. So they're not sitting in a really long lecture, but it's something to try to kind of get them thinking about what they need to do to prepare them to go out into the world. And we get a lot of volunteers and support also for that as well. We added last year a parent track for parents to also come in. And Joe, maybe you could speak to the parent track and what we did there.
Yeah, absolutely. And Michael, this kind of addresses something you had mentioned that we had talked about previously, where a big focus when we have our parent track is making sure that they understand the work incentives, how their students that receive SSI or SSDI, how they're impacted if they're seeking employment and that type of thing. So I know that you were very delighted to hear that we've been doing that, and we'll certainly continue to do that for this year's DMD.
The other thing that we added to Disability Mentoring Day was, again, trying to really, you know, make it interesting and fun and engaging for the students. Rather than just listening to a lot of speechifying by adults, we've done over the last 2 years, Walmart has donated clothing, and the students do a fashion show. So we've set up a whole runway where they can show work-appropriate attire, and the students have been able to go and pick out the clothes that they want to use for the fashion show. Blue Cross Blue Shield has done this incredibly hilarious top 10 things of not to do in an interview that's really geared towards the students as well. This year we're going to do a what's called scary skits, which is interview skits, about like appropriate and inappropriate interviews. So we tried to make it funny and fun and engaging and also a great learning experience. So after Disability Mentoring Day in the fall, we hooked the students in and we asked them if they want to participate in the next step, which is job shadowing. And one of the things that we've done is tap into existing structures out there. So in February, many of you might be aware, it's National Groundhog Job Shadow Day, which is a national day of shadowing for young people, not specific to disability, but for young people in general. And with the Chicago Public Schools, we've tapped into that program to get students who have gone through Disability Mentoring Day to then go be placed in companies of their choice for a day of job shadowing. And our office actually recruits the companies, works with the students who have expressed interest, and matches them with the companies. And last year, I believe we did about 70 students who then got matched up with various employers, private companies, government agencies, the White Sox, Shedd Aquarium, all kinds of different employers. And again, it's been no cost to the employer, except, you know, folks to work with them for the day, and then the students go either individually or in groups, and we try to group interests as well. After Job Shadow Day in February, then the students move on to competitive jobs through the City of Chicago's Youth Summer Employment Program, the Mayor's Youth Summer Employment Program called Youth Ready Chicago. And again, we wanted to tap into the existing structure that's out there within the City of Chicago to get students with disabilities employed into paid summer internships. In the past, the students with disabilities that were involved in this. It was very menial work, like garbage collection or cleaning walls and things like that. And we really tried to really transform it in a way that these were like competitive internships. So the students have to interview for the job. We identify the employers that are willing to pay students for the summer. It's approximately 3 months. But they have to have gone through DMD and Job Shadow Day in order to then be in the pipeline for the paid summer internships, at least for us to work with them. And so we identify the employers, and then we create kind of the positions with them. We talk to them about what type of positions might be available, and then match them up with students of their interest. We have been able to get employers to play, in some cases, far more than minimum wage. This summer we had one student that was earning $16 an hour at their paid summer internship, and I think we got about 42 students paid summer jobs. We also do a kickoff as students go out into the workforce with our partners and community members that are interested. We host a breakfast that we get one of our sponsors to help pay for, where we kind of talk about where the students are going and get people jazzed up about it. And we've gotten a really, really great responses both from the employers and from the students. One thing I would caution that we did learn was that it was really important for us to be engaged in that process of them, you know, going for the job interviews, because in the past what we found was a lot of students were going out for interviews that we hadn't necessarily screened, that were like in no way ready, either dressed appropriately, able to articulate why they wanted the job in the interview. And that's why we really focus on these kind of skills prior to them going through that process. Again, we ask for commitment. So, you know, the students that end up going through the jobs have also gone through DMD and the job shadowing day. And again, we've had a great partnership with the Chicago Public Schools that has enabled us to tap into the schools, the principals, and help identify the students that we have worked with. Joe, do you have anything to add?
Well, yeah, as Karen mentioned, a great partner, Chicago Public Schools, and the private sector employers as well, because, you know, you really obviously couldn't do job shadow without those employers. And definitely you couldn't do the paid summer internship program without those employers. So that's why we feel it's very important to include them in the first phase. As Karen mentioned, you know, they facilitate our workshops about different career areas and things along those lines. And just a side note about workshops, a couple of more of that besides specific career interest areas, we also do one called Know Your Money, about money managed for students. We do one about Know Your Rights, meaning, you know, how to advocate for yourself, ask for reasonable accommodation. And we're doing a very new one this year about self-advocacy using social media. So we're really excited about those workshops, too. But basically, I guess what the theme here is that we really rely very heavily on our partners and collaboration to have a year-long event like this, a year-long program be a big success.
And as you know, government agencies, like most agencies right now, are really strapped for money. And so we haven't really used a lot of city funds to be able to pull this off. It's really been pulled off by staff and volunteers and sponsorship of our partners and commitment from employers who are willing to hire and take students in for job shadowing. And so we've been able to operate the program at very, very minimal cost. So that's a quick overview.
Yeah, this is Michael. That's wonderful. And again, just really impressed. I want to point out one thing that they mentioned, that Joe mentioned at the beginning of the call, is that they started out with 25 students. So these guys started small. So I know it seems like, wow, this is so huge. I'm not sure that we could ever do this. But I believe and know that that this is a powerful model and something that you can build off of your D&D. So, you know, if you're still at 10 or 25 students, there's nothing wrong with that. And DMD in and of itself is an incredibly powerful program. But I do think this is a great model if you want to take it to the next level. One question that I have for you guys, and just from working with you for the DMD national launch, I've seen how you guys take in information from the various different mentees, and I'd love it if you guys could share how you take in the information for Disability Mentoring Day, and then also how you stay in contact with those students throughout the year leading up to the internships in the summer.
Yeah, it kind of, a quick history lesson again. Initially, when we were recruiting students for DMD in the years past, it would be basically just the old hard copy version of the application. You know, we'd ask the basic information, you know, their name, their school, their disability, their needed accommodation, their career areas of interest, and so on. And but now, fast forward to the last couple of years, we're actually doing online registration. We're encouraging that as much as possible. And with some, within some of the schools, the teachers are actually taking some class time to work with the students to register online for the program. And obviously, it's a good exposure for the students to get used to what's happening in the real world, if you will. And at the same time, it makes it much easier for us to register the students. And because we can just take their information that comes in and plug them into the workshops that they choose, because we ask them to choose three workshops that they'll be in that day, and it's obviously first-come, first-served basis. So we're kind of using modern technology, if you will. We're doing the same thing for volunteers for our program. We have different areas of volunteerism that people can sign up for, whether it's just kind of logistics for the day or helping with the setting up the catering, greeting people, registration, and so on. So we really kind of moved to the sort of all online access, if you will, but obviously we're not going to eliminate the hard copy version because we know for some people that might be the only option.
And then they indicate if they want to go to the next step after participating.
Yeah, that's an excellent point that Karen made, because that's how we keep in touch with the students on the evaluations that we give at the end of the program. We ask them, do they want to take part in phase two, which is job shadow, and potentially phase three, which is a summer jobs program. And I would think most students would want to do that, but not all, of course. But that's how we follow up with the student. And going in, we make sure that the students, the teachers, and everyone involved know that it's a three-step process, that DMD isn't just like the only thing that's going on. So the students are aware that there would be a second and third step. So this is kind of what's happened in the past. Let's say we might have, this is an example, we might have, let's say, 250 students participate in DMD. Of those, we might have about 90 that actually might make it through the job shadow based on their interest. And then that could lead to, as Karen said, maybe about 42 summer jobs. And that might sound like a small percentage, depending on who started out. But when you think about, you know, we're limited in resources and things like, you know, staff resources and money and that type of thing. That's actually a pretty good job, I would think. So that's kind of how we've been working the program, and we'll continue to work the program.
That's great, Joe. And going along with that question, I think it would be powerful for you guys to talk a little bit about how you publicize the program, because I think that you know, you're able to take in that information about the students and the volunteers only because you guys do a great job publicizing it. So why don't you talk a little bit about how you get the information out?
Oh, yeah, we, again, as far as the event coming up and recruiting students, that's where we rely very heavily on CPS, Chicago Public Schools. I'm sorry. We get used to the acronyms a lot here at MOPD. But for instance, what we did this year, and CPS has had some Chicago Public Schools, they've had some new management lately, especially in their Office of Specialized Services, and they've been really great, really on board with what we're doing. For instance, we have taken part, and they've had, prior to school starting, they had three separate meetings for case managers within the schools. And so we were invited to those meetings, and we could present about DMD, and we had a lot of questions that the teachers and case managers were asking, and we thought that's only positive because that means they're interested in taking that information back to their schools and getting students to sign up for the program. Because, after all, this program benefits everybody. It benefits us serving people with disabilities that benefit Chicago Public Schools with having, you know, providing this type of thing for their students, and obviously, and most importantly, it benefits the students. So again, collaboration is the key to getting the information out there. And as far as just like coverage for our activities like DMD and so on, you know, we use our media contacts here within the city, the, you know, the mayor's office and our public information officer. We have a lot of good contacts at the local news stations because some of them have feature reporters that just cover disability-related issues. So we have a good network that we've established here in the city.
Yeah, and last year Univision, the Spanish-speaking channel, came and did a story on DMD. So we do try to publicize it as well to get the word about the importance of, you know, hiring people with disabilities.
That's great. And maybe one of you guys can also talk about, I thought this was just a cool little idea, the phone scan idea. Do you know what I'm talking about, Joe?
Yeah, actually, thanks to Gerard Lockhart, who's one of our he's one of the people that's actually been helping us with DMD for a handful of years now. He's sort of our go-to IT person, if you will. And now he's worked it out, you know, with his experience in IT, where you can actually take the application and scan it with your phone and apply that way electronically. So that's kind of like the next step, if you will. I don't understand it myself, but I'm not a young person. but yeah.
Yeah, well, it is.
But yeah, so that's kind of like sort of the next step in technology that we're starting to get into.
And it's very cool. It's the scan bar that you guys see on advertisements for pizza places. You know, like if you look at the bottom of Papa John's thing, they've got that little scan bar where you can scan it with your phone. And so, you know, staying innovative, I think, is just a really cool way to continue to publicize what you guys are doing. My next question for you guys deals more with Groundhog Job Shadowing Day and with Youth Ready Chicago. In both of those cases, this is something that's not disability specific that you guys have been able to infiltrate, and I think that that's a really powerful model. It's important that we don't necessarily have to recreate the wheel. We can infiltrate those existing structures and then work around them and tweak them in order to include people with disabilities and be accessible to people with disabilities. So I'd be interested to know how you guys infiltrated those two structures and what kinds of changes you had to make, especially with the Youth Ready Chicago, in order to include people with disabilities, and if you met any kind of resistance, how you overcame those barriers.
Actually, one thing we didn't mention is we also have an advisory committee that helps us with planning and things like that. And the idea of moving into Job Shadow Day, Groundhog Job Shadow Day, was actually an idea of one of our advisory committee members, which I thought was excellent, as a way to just use that as a backdrop and a framework for that day of job shadowing, which I think is really important before students go out into the work world. So we actually tap in via the Chicago Public Schools, right? They do a big kickoff every job shadow for all the students that are going out to companies and businesses, and we are really part of that process. It's a huge program, not specifically for students with disabilities, but again, we wanted to make sure that there was a conscious inclusion of students with disabilities into that. And so they have some good prominent speakers at their kickoff event with all the students, and MLPD is always up there being able to speak about students with disabilities during that week. So we've certainly been able to kind of tap into the existing structure, again, trying to maximize resources, not having a totally separate program, but really encouraging the program that already exists to have a good concentration of students with disabilities. Is there anything on Job Shadow, Joe, that you
want to
add?
And like Karen said, that's an existing structure, but unfortunately what happens in a lot of situations like that that's open to, quote, all students, sometimes students with disabilities aren't included. So that's why we felt that we had to kind of step forward and make sure students with disabilities are included. just like with the Youth Ready Chicago, you know, it's open to thousands of Chicago public high school students without disabilities. But we want to ensure that students with disabilities are taken care of. And as like Karen mentioned earlier, not just in menial tasks, quality work experiences. Just one side note about the getting back to the job shadow experience. And again, you know, we're fortunate in Chicago, you know, being such a large city with a lot of private sector employers to tap into. Some of the students in the past have job shadowed at PepsiCo. And one of their activities when they were there for the day was to go into their lab and make their own Gatorade flavor, which was pretty cool, I thought. Now, I haven't heard of any of them marketed theirs yet, but so that's just an example of some of the activities that will go on.
And then I would also say that every year the mayor does a press conference where he kicks off the city's summer job program. And MOPD has our office, Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities, have always been included in that press conference. And last year, one of our sponsors, Harris Bank, was also a featured speaker alongside the mayor about Disability Mentoring Day and hiring students with disabilities through their summer program. So we've been taking every opportunity and effort to try to integrate what we do into what the city is doing already around summer employment for youth.
That's great. And I think sometimes you, in order to really infiltrate those kinds of structures, you do have to get a little bit political. I think having, you know, some big-name speakers, being able to tap in with those existing structures and being that advocate on the inside to say, hey, we should include people with disabilities, it really does make a huge difference.
Right.
I've got one more question, then I'm going to open it up to the floor for questions, but also I know there's some other folks on the call who are doing year-round stuff, and I'd love to have an opportunity for you guys to share some of your experiences, and I know that Chicago would love to learn from you as well. My last question is, for those folks who are on the call today or who are going to be listening to this off of the website, what would you suggest as the first step towards building on Disability Mentoring Day and moving to, make more outcomes, you know, around Groundhog Job Shadowing Day or, possibly internships and jobs? What do you think that first step is?
I guess I would say just first develop your vision of where you want to end up. You know, just because we do it this way doesn't mean everybody has to do it this way. We just knew that we wanted to end up with students actually getting jobs, and we looked for existing structures in which to make that happen. And we also felt a huge need was getting students ready for jobs, that it wasn't like you could just right out of the gate say, okay, here's a summer internship. We felt that our past experience had showed that a lot of students weren't totally ready, that was really kind of how we reshaped DMD to be more of that preparation for the job and then having that on-the-job work experience and then it leading to summer jobs. So I think kind of having the vision of where you want to end up is really important and what the pieces will be to get you there. Looking for existing structures, and I think going back to what Joe would say, those relationships with employers are really, really critical because they are part of every, for us at least, they've been part of every step of the way. In terms of, you know, sponsorship and supporting us at DMD, getting them engaged in this idea, then be willing to take students for shadowing and ultimately paid summer internships. Joe, do you want to answer?
That's great.
Yeah, collaboration within, as Karen mentioned, both the schools and the private sector employers and community-based organizations for that matter. But I just wanted to add to one thing, Michael, that you had mentioned earlier about the size of your activity or your perhaps year-long program. And we certainly don't want people to feel, overwhelmed that they have to do some large thing because we're a big city, obviously. And I think the latest stats I saw about students with disabilities within the Chicago public school system, there's 55,000, and approximately 18,000 of them would, quote, qualify for our program,
That are of that transition age.
Exactly.
18,000.
Yeah, and, of course, we just don't have the resources to work with 18,000 students. But the point I'm trying to make is it's really about a quality experience, not a, quantity kind of thing. So So, you know, cities can have a nice year-long program, you know, with 25 students or something like that. So anything that we can do to help along the way, we certainly are ready, willing, and able to do that.
And it took us many years to get where we are, and a lot of lessons and some hard lessons, too. So it's not like we just whipped this out the first year. We've been doing this for over 10 years.
Great. And doing a great job. And just to build on that, I think if any of you guys are interested in pursuing this kind of idea, I really like what Karen said, that it starts with a vision. It starts with figuring out what do you want to do, because your program will not look exactly like Chicago's or any other program out there. One of the things I love about DMD is that there's so much local control, and that you guys as DMD coordinators know what's best for your local area and are able to deliver that. So, and you know what existing structures are there that you can tap into and what partners you need to tap into. But with that being said, if you guys are interested in moving in this direction, I would be more than willing if you send me an email with some ideas on how you'd like to build this vision and how you'd like to build on Disability Mentoring Day, to offer my humble comments on that vision and help you pursue this. So with that being said, we'll open up the floor to folks if they want to make some comments or about their programs or ask some questions of Karen and Joe. Anybody? I guess you guys answered everything so well, everybody's content.
Or we put them all asleep.
No, I don't think so. Are you guys asleep on there?
No.
Good. Are there any questions? No comments? Okay. Well, with none being heard, again, I would welcome you guys. If you do end up having questions for Karen or Joe, you can send them my way, and I will shoot them to them. And also, if you're interested in building on your Disability Mentoring Day model, feel free to shoot me, you know, a vision or some ideas that you're thinking about, and I'd love to offer you some of my thoughts and see where it goes from there. So, Karen, or Commissioner Tamley and Joe, I'd really like to thank you both for coming on the call today and for sharing this and for continuing to do such a great job. And I'd like to thank all the DMD coordinators for all of your hard work and for making Disability Mentoring Day a success.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Michael.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.